So hi everyone, I'm Stephanie. I'm the senior outreach liaison for CCL in our DC office. And my job is a mix of a lot of things, but my main role is working on our relationships with other organizations, mostly at the national level, informing them of CCL's progress, talking about our policy. I also do a lot of work with volunteers in the field who are working locally with organizations to help them when they're stuck or just talking about issues on the ground. So my contact info is all here. It went away, but there it is. And you can feel free to call or email me anytime. I'm also pursuing a master's degree right now, so email is usually the best, just because my evenings are usually occupied, but I'm happy to schedule a time to talk on the phone if that you prefer that. So, and I think we'll show that information again at the end. So the agenda for tonight's discussion is I'm going to go over some basic outreach guidelines that can be applied for all types of outreach. And then I'm going to go into specific strategies for engaging with specifically other green groups, as well as environmental and climate justice groups. Both of those have their own issues, and those are the ones that I work with the most. So that's why we're going to talk about those. And then there'll be some Q&A at the end as well. And so just to start, there's a wide variety of organizations out there that are beneficial for CCL to engage with. And you could even say that all organizations have some relevancy to CCL. And our proposal, since fee and dividend is going to affect pretty much every aspect of the economy and every person in the United States. So how do you begin to engage with organizations and do it in the CCL way, which is respectful, understanding, and productive? Well, I'm hoping that these guidelines are going to offer some help for you. So I narrowed it down to five really basic ones, and then I'm going to dive into them a little deeper. So the five are to always check the endorser database, to start local, respect CCL's nonpartisan nature, know your audience, and lastly is to create lasting and meaningful relationships with those other organizations. And before we go on, I just wanted to mention also that for groups that are more specific, so like labor or conservatives, agriculture, health, we have a lot of action teams on community where there's groups of volunteers across the country who have sort of formed specific subgroups that focus on messaging to those directly. And so if you're interested in working with one of those, I recommend checking community and seeing if there's already an action team. And if you think of some other specific group that you think needs one, we're always happy to form a group around those. They're really great for exchanging the ideas that work and what don't work. And it's a great way to sort of figure out what's going to work in your local area. And then another big thing to remember that I'm going to mention a few times tonight is that approaching organizations is a little different than approaching a member of Congress. So in our meetings with members, there's usually almost every time something specific that a member of Congress can do for us. However, with organizations, that's not always the case. So with partnerships, sometimes it's perfectly acceptable for the goal of a meeting to just be getting to know a group and getting them to know us and not necessarily looking for an endorsement. And I'll go into that a little bit more as we go on. It's especially important for green groups and other groups that tend to be more aligned with us already. So let's dive into the basics a bit more. So the first one that I mentioned was to always check the endorser database. So hopefully you all know what that is. If you don't, it's on community, and it's where we keep track of individuals and groups that have endorsed either action on climate or are specifically on carbon fee and dividend. Very often someone has already initiated some sort of conversation with the person or the group that you're thinking of reaching out to, especially if it's a big group. And duplicating efforts is a waste of time for you and for the person that you're trying to reach out to. And sometimes it can complicate the relationship. you can even harm it if we appear to be undisciplined or unorganized. If you have five different CCLers asking you for the same thing, it can kind of be overwhelming. So checking the database is great. Respect the delegate that is listed there. If there's somebody that says they're working on it, it's totally okay to reach out to them and ask what the current relationship is, if they're actively working on it, if you can help. But it's really important to check that so we're not duplicating our efforts. And you, again, you can find that on community. It's under action teams, I think. And then if you need to reach the staff that's in charge of that, if you have any problems, you can go to you can email them at endorse@citizensclimate.org. Or you can search community for Endorse. Thanks, Ricky. And additionally, with the Endorser database, so National CCL, which is all of our staff, but especially Danny and I, because we're here in DC, where a lot of these groups' headquarters are, we have a lot of relationships with the national headquarters of a lot of the big organizations. So Sierra Club, EDF, Nature Conservancy, etc. And so if you check the Endorser database and you see Danny or I's name listed, it's really important to remember that we probably almost 100% of the time have a relationship going with that organization. And that you should not contact their national office unless you've checked with Danny or I. But you should absolutely feel free to work with their local group. So, you know, like your local Sierra Club is fine. Again, respect the database, but with national, it's really important to make sure that we're not having a bunch of people bombard the executive director of Sierra Club. All right, so moving on to number two, which is to start local. So I sort of just mentioned this, but a lot of these big organizations have local chapters, and they're far more likely to be willing to hear you out than the national office. So we sort of learned that working our policy up the ladder has proven to be successful in the past, and getting multiple local groups and people talking about and liking our policy and liking how we work, that will enable people within these organizations to advocate to their own people. And, you know, we've sort of learned this in the past that messengers sort of matter. So it tends to work better for somebody within an organization to hear from their own colleagues about an idea that they like rather than from someone from the outside. And another thing to remember is that working local doesn't always have to mean that you're convincing them that fee and dividend is the greatest policy. I'll get into this more again, but it's important to remember that sometimes having a relationship built on trust with these local groups is more important than an endorsement, especially groups that we know, you know, they're environmental groups, they're inherently working towards the same goal as us. Oftentimes you're working from a different angle, but we don't necessarily always need to be forcing fee and dividend. Sometimes it's better just to work with them on local things and local relationships than it is to force an endorsement. And those relationships are going to become really important when we do have a bill in play and they've worked with us and they know us and they know that we're respectful and we listen to them and all that good CCL stuff. Okay, so moving on to number three, which is respecting CCL's nonpartisan nature. So we're really lucky that CCL occupies such a unique niche within the world of advocacy. So as nonpartisan, we get to have credit with both sides of the political spectrum, which is pretty rare. But it also makes it really hard sometimes for us to support other organizations since we don't want to appear to lean one way or the other. But we work with everyone and we really want to maintain that principle as much as possible. And sometimes that means not having CCL as a sponsor for something, but it doesn't mean that we can't partner with organizations completely. So for local sponsoring of events, the rule of thumb is that your groups are free to sponsor or partner with whomever you like, but we just ask that you're judicious in your doing so. You should feel free to put your chapter's name on a local state event or a letter, but not nationals, because we really want to maintain our nonpartisan niche. And some things to remember when you're thinking of that is that the top criteria for deciding what to sponsor or support should be to what extent it would be perceived as partisan. There can be more latitude on things that are private versus public. And another important criteria to remember is how much goodwill it's going to create within your area and within your group. So there's parts of the country where it's more important to work with the left than with the right, and there's parts of the country where it's more important to work with the right than it is with the left. And you sort of have to decide what's going to be best for moving your member of Congress and for aligning your group with the right strategy. And we trust you guys to make that decision. And just as a suggestion, it's really good to have a list of things to offer in lieu of sponsoring or putting your name on something. Just because we can't put CCL's name on something doesn't mean we can't help another group. So some examples are, you know, passing out the, if it's an event, passing out the information to your email list, or helping pass out flyers, helping secure a venue, keeping goodwill with a variety of groups is important. But it's also important to not sponsor events that you're going to put you in that kind of align you with one party or the other. So again, it's really hard. It's not easy sometimes to figure out what's the right thing to do. And I'm always happy to help people sort of figure out what's the best way to participate in something without hurting our cred. So number four is to know your audience. We do this all the time when we meet with members of Congress. We look up their bios, we research the district, and the same should be done when you are about to meet an organization or a person that you've never met. It's really important to know the history of the organization, the staff, to understand what their mission is, their goals, because then you can find ways that our goals align with their goals. And that's a really good way to make first contact. And it's also a good way to move and further a relationship going forward. Additionally, it's always helpful if you can find out if another group of CCLers has worked maybe in their district with the same group. There's regional differences all over the country, but sometimes there's some good tips and things to say or not say that other groups have figured out. So using community and the endorser database is a great way to sort of check with people, get some tips. I recommend that. And then lastly is the overall reason that we do all this outreach in the first place, which is to create lasting and respectful relationships with other organizations. And so good listening is as important with liberal groups as it is with conservatives and with members of Congress. You want to show up and be interested in what these groups do. You want to learn about them, answer questions about us, ask questions about them. Sometimes participating in social networking things like green drinks, if your city has them, and just trying to be a strong ally to other groups that are working on issues that align with us in your community is just a really important thing to do. And the same way that we value relationships based on trust and respect in Congress, we really want to do the same with other organizations. And along with this goes that, again, that understanding that although endorsements are wonderful and useful and very necessary, sometimes there's going to be groups and organizations where it's more important to have a meaningful, trusting relationship than it will be to have an endorsement. And just like we wouldn't go into a member of Congress's office and begin bombarding them with facts and numbers about our policy the first time we meet with them, the same should be true of other groups. You want to engage with them first and foremost, understand what their issues are, who their members are, and sometimes just wait to talk policy unless, you know, of course this was the basis for the meeting, which again, it sort of depends on the group. But sometimes policy is going to be easier to talk about with certain groups than others. But we should really try for that greater relationship because especially with other green groups and environmental groups, we really need a cohesive climate movement rather than a lot of debate over policy. So moving on to some specifics about the two groups that I work with a lot, which is environmental groups. These are like Big Green, and then the other one will be climate justice and environmental justice. So for green groups, it's really important to understand the climate movement and environmental landscape when you're going to engage with these groups. So CCL is really unique in that we advocate for one solution and we focus on one issue. Most Big Green groups, Sierra Club, EDF, World Wildlife Fund, They work on lots of issues, and so they're often juggling multiple topics at once. And because of this, green groups often come at the climate issue from a multiple-step process. They work for passing lots of types of legislation that attack climate change and environmental issues at local, regional, and state levels, as well as federal, which differs from us in that we focus on one issue and it's just federal. So green groups, especially the big ones, they've also been around a lot longer than CCL. Many of them fought for and helped write the cap and trade bills of the past that never made it out of Congress. And so some of their members may still hold on to that idea that cap and trade is viable and powerful option. And it's good to just know that going in. Over the past decade, there's been a lot of growth in these groups where they all have subsections that focus just on climate change. And their links to the historic environmental movement can vary, as well as their scope and their definition of the problem and prescription of solutions can vary over all of them as well. Some are small, grassroots, some are big and have staff and infrastructure. But the important thing to remember is that these groups share our passion and our common desire to rein in global warming. It just sort of depends on what angle they're coming from. And the biggest thing to remember when you're working with these groups is, especially when you're working with them about fee and dividend, is that they are not wrong just because they don't like our solution. And it's a hard thing sometimes to wrap our heads around because we are so passionate and we really do believe this is the best policy. But in the same way that you would never go into a congressional office and tell them that they're wrong for supporting cap and trade, you should never go to another organization and make them wrong. It's not good for our relationships. It's not good for the movement as a whole. And it doesn't make CCL look very good when we're not considering why they support a certain policy, but we're expecting them to listen to ours. And all climate movement and environmental groups working on climate are working at it for the same reason. So that's the second thing that's really important to remember. We're all working for the same goal, solving the problem of global warming. And we need to remember that there may not be one be-all, end-all solution to the climate crisis. And it may be that the solution that passes Congress is a hybrid or a combination of many types of policies. And by making another organization wrong in their approach or their idea, or by trying to force our policy on them without establishing that relationship and taking the time to really understand why they're fighting for it the way they are, we do ourselves a disservice and we create a hostile environment within the climate movement that's just really unnecessary. And additionally, there's value in having different groups working from different angles in this movement. There is value to having groups on the left, there's value to having groups on the right, and CCL is really lucky in that we work in the middle and we get to work with both. And a final consideration for when you're doing outreach to green groups and environmental groups is just to remember that we are all working in this ecosystem together, and that our passion for the solution that we advocate for shouldn't blind us to the importance of the work that other groups are doing. And we should really try to always respect other organizations and the specific job they play in that. And the best example that I give is comparing 350 and CCL. 350 is a very different organization. They have rallies and protests and very in-your-face movements. And CCL wouldn't participate in those, but there is value in groups doing what they do, bringing climate to the forefront of more people's attention and getting it out into the public in ways that CCL wouldn't do because that's not how we work. But it's totally important to remember that and respect that and to acknowledge why their role is important as well. Okay, so moving on to working with environmental justice groups. So this gets a little trickier. So environmental justice and climate justice groups often fall under the same umbrella as other green groups, but they're unique organizations with their own history and their own focus. Most of these groups represent specific subsections of the American public, perhaps a region or a city, and they're very careful not to misrepresent their members or their stakeholders. Environmental justice is a topic that really takes background to know. And I strongly recommend researching the history of your area before you're going to engage with these groups to understand what the local environmental issues are. The bottom line is that these groups work to ensure that the people most affected by climate, environmental, social, and equity injustices have their voices heard and are at the table in creating policies to ensure that they protect their communities. This movement grew out of instances where lower income and minority communities were disproportionately affected by policies such as placement of pollution generating plants, storage of toxic materials that all happened near their homes. And those practices were historical, but they still happen today. And they're a major priority to most of these groups. And they often see fighting for the larger climate as something that's more of a privilege because they're fighting for clean water and clean air now for their members. And so sometimes these groups look at CCL, and not just CCL, but other big green groups that deal with federal policies as not listening to the voices of those on the ground that are dealing with the climate impacts now. And sometimes they'll feel used by larger organizations. And so engaging with these groups means that you are really committing to being respectful. And as a rule of thumb, I highly recommend not going in there talking about fee and dividend, especially at the beginning. You should work to find out what they're fighting for and why, and see if there are areas that your CCL group can help, or if you as an individual can offer support. That's something you can do too. The big things with working with environmental and climate justice is getting respect and trust, and to have them understand that we are in this for the right reasons, and that we're not trying to take their members or force a policy that they may disagree with. So if you're going to work and engage with a local environmental justice or climate justice group, please do so respectfully with the intention of making a relationship, just like we do with our members of Congress, and not with the intention of recruiting members or getting endorsements. If those happen down the line later, great, but that should not be your main goal with these groups. And if your group can't commit to building that, and being genuinely interested and engaged with them on the local issues and the issues that they care about, I recommend that you just don't work with them. Work on a different area. And we just launched a new environmental justice, climate justice action team, which was after the June conference. And they are a great group of CCLers who are really working to understand how best for CCL to engage with these groups. They work on brainstorming of messaging, both for within CCL and for how to message our policy to environmental justice. So if that's something you're interested in, or if you're having issues in your area where this is, you know, a thing that keeps coming up, I really recommend joining that group and speaking with them, because there's some pretty amazing ideas that are going on there. And I think the more CCLers we have talking about this, the better it can be. And now I will take questions if anybody has any. It can be about outreach or local stuff or DC.
All right. So, Seth, I'll let you catch your breath for just a second. take a breath. First of all, I wish I would have known all this information about 3 years ago, because I know my first time trotting into a small local environmental justice organization and trying to convince them that I was the smartest person in the room. And it does not work at all. It doesn't go over very well with them either. I think it's such an important thing to keep in mind and to remember, like you said, that the end goal may not always be to get them to endorse climate fee and dividend or carbon fee and dividend. Maybe it's just to help educate them a little bit on the topic and, you know, be a resource to them like we with so many other groups. I think that's very instructive, and I appreciate you the message. So what we'll do here is we got plenty of time for questions. So there's a couple ways you can participate. You can unmute your line if you're online, just by clicking on the little microphone symbol on the lower left-hand corner of your screen. And just say your name, where you're joining from today, and ask your question. Or if you're on the phone, you can press *6 to do the same.
This is Jim Ryan in Detroit. Can you hear me?
We hear you, Jim.
Yes, I'm glad that I'm hearing this. I'm not feeling so bad about not convincing people, not being able to convince people in the Detroit area. This is a very active climate change and environmental justice place. And I'm giving a presentation to Detroit Climate Action Collaborative next month. And I plan to, I've been asked to give a talk about carbon fee and dividend, but I'm going to present it and ask for input and their opinions. So
that's great.
One thing is that we have the Congressman Conyers is all on board, and Congresswoman Lawrence is all on board. So it's the folks, their constituents, that are a little bit leery, and I'm understanding more and more the more I hear about the basics of the environmental justice. Looking forward to working with Stephanie on that that group.
Yeah, I'd love to hear updates. I think it's important for us to talk to groups like that and hear their concerns and really take them to heart. So,
hey, and Stephanie, let me just show on the screen for people who are joining us tonight. I can just show you how to join that action team in case anyone's not that familiar with community. So I'm going to escape or back out of the PowerPoint presentation real quick and just pull up my browser. Hopefully I won't have to put in my password. Oh, well, it's already saved. So I'm going to community here. And then once that loads, look at that picture of Stephanie. Wow, isn't that nice? All right. So right in the top navigation menu, you should see the option for action teams. You click on that. And then it's really just an alphabetical list. So you can just find climate and environmental justice right there. You can click on it. And there's the group. And you would just select the join group if you're interested in joining them. So appreciate Jim. You know, Jim has an interesting background too, Stephanie. You know, he's from Houston. So,
no, we've been. Yeah.
So he's Jim is probably going to occupy that really good niche of how to talk to conservatives and progressives.
Yeah, I heard he's also a very science-y background person, which is awesome too.
Absolutely. All right. So thanks, Jim, for the question or in the comments. Anyone else? Again, you can unmute your microphone or press *6 on your phone.
Well, this is George. I'm in mid-Missouri. And we have a coalition for the environment that includes a lot of different environmental groups around the state. And I've been active in that since I started in 2013. But with the thought of passing carbon fee and dividend in 2017, you know, I think about this environmental Washington group and, you know, the problems are running into out there.
Yep.
And it seems like, you know, one of my goals has been to make sure these other environmental groups understand our policy. So what I've been asking for them to do is give me opportunities to be on their monthly calls or whatever it is, and just explain our policy and how it would work, and what the advantages of it are. So I guess I haven't really been running into any situations where I see it as a conflict. I mean, I speak quite a bit at different seminars that involve these groups. And one thing I always do is I talk about how important all the different groups are. You know, we all put pressure on needing climate policy in different ways. But I've been pretty open about saying we want to pass a carbon fee and dividend in 2017, and I want to be talking to you about it now. So if we do get a bill, that we could have your support at that time. And if you support the policy. So right. It seemed like that outreach and education to them is no less important than any other group to kind of build that political will for the policy. So I just went, that's kind of how I'm working. Am I doing any of that wrong?
No, I think, you know, it's really interesting to me to hear that because, like, I think, like I said, regions vary and groups vary. And if you're in an area where your environmental groups are open and actively engaged in listening to other policies, I think that's fantastic. And that's what the end goal, obviously, is to educate them on the policy. It's just that we've been running into more instances where I think some people tend to just not register that just because a group isn't working on fee and dividend, that they're not as good as us. And so it's just been coming up. But I do think that if you're in an area where that's working and your groups are listening to you and having you on their calls, that's awesome. That's what we want.
There was I was on a panel here a couple of weeks ago, and that the main speaker was a guy that had been with 350.org, but is really, and they're kind of merging right now with the climate mobilization group.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And so it was a speaker that was saying, you know, we need this World War II mobilization. And he was kind of a little, did a few put downs of small efforts, like putting a price on carbon and some things, you know. And then I had to follow him after he said that. And so what I said was that, certainly, this mass mobilization that you're talking about is absolutely needed to address the problem we have. But that doesn't say that putting a price on carbon shouldn't be one of the strategies that we're using. And it can have, and is actually a big step, not just a little step. And it seemed like even he accepted that pretty well. But
yeah, and I think if you, like you were saying, if you acknowledge that there are different lanes to this, that opens up people to being more understanding to hear about fee and dividend. I think it's when we go in and say fee and dividend is the be all end all, there's no other way to do it, that's when you run into issues where groups are like, you know what, I don't really want to hear about this. So obviously you're doing it right, that they're willing to listen to you, and then they want to learn more about the policy, which is great.
Thanks, George. So let's go from one George to another. We've got George who is
Alaska.
George up in Alaska has typed a question, Stephanie. And then Stephanie, after you take this question from George, if you just write down, maybe you can just talk what George was just talking about, a little bit about Carbon Washington. There's anyone on the line that heard that reference and wasn't quite sure what you were referring to. But George asks, do you have any advice as far as approaching local, non-affiliated with big green climate groups? So I think some of those local environmental justice
If they're environmental justice groups, those are the ones that I was talking about where you really want to kind of go in there working on the relationship. I think it's great if you can end up where George is, where you're having discussions about fee and dividend. But it's better to initially say, hey, we're both working on climate. Like, we should get together and talk about what you're working on and what CCL is working on and how we do what we do and how do you do what you do and see if there's room to collaborate. I think eventually you can talk about fee and dividend, but I really, especially if it's a climate justice, I'm not sure with that question, but you really want to just go in there talking about how we have the same goals and how can we work together within this bigger movement. And then you can sort of come around to talking policy. If, you know, you can ask them, do you have a stance on federal climate legislation? If not, would you be interested in hearing about our solution? If you're not, that's okay. Maybe some other time. I just think it's really important to be respectful. Some groups just don't have the bandwidth to think about federal policy, and that's okay. If they're working on local things, those matter too.
One thing I'll just add to that, just my experience as a group leader, there have been times when people are like, hey, yeah, I want to get together and I want to join CCL, and you're like, okay, great. You go meet with them, and then you're meeting with coffee, and all they want to try to do is sell you on what their group is and what they're doing, and how utterly annoyed you get with that person really quickly, because you realize that the whole pretense of the meeting wasn't what it was supposed to be. They are really just trying to sell you. So it's that whole, I think that whole CCL philosophy that I've learned from Stephanie is you really have to have a genuine interest in what they're doing, George. So, if it's not something you don't really care about too much, maybe you're just going to help educate them, but set it up that way. But if you really want to develop that partnership, think about it from that. Just think about me in that situation or putting yourself in that situation and how annoyed you would be.
Yeah, Madeline gave the best analogy of it that I've ever heard, which was when you go on a date and your date only is thinking about sex and that's all they want, and it's uncomfortable and annoying and it's rude. So you really have to, yeah, if you put yourself in the other person's shoes, and obviously you wouldn't want to go and listen to somebody else talk about their organization for the whole time. It goes the same way. It's just basic having a relationship, human decency to be interested in what they're doing too. And I think CCL, we know that. We use that all the time with our members of Congress. So it should be, I don't see any reason why we can't extend that to organizations as well.
Right. So if you would step in, just real quick, for those who might not be familiar with the Carbon Washington, I think it's very instructive as far as what we're trying to do and what you're talking about tonight. So if you would just speak to it briefly.
Yeah. So basically, there is a carbon tax proposal in Washington state. It's not like ours at all, really. It's similar in that it's a tax and then it goes up, but they use the revenue to reducing sales tax, to offsetting manufacturers' tax, and it also gives a rebates to low-income working families. And it's been getting a lot of attention lately because it doesn't have a lot of support from local green groups and big green groups, and Sierra Club doesn't support it. 350, I don't think, has come out and supported it, which is really weird because, you know, this is the, you know, the solution that everybody talks about is carbon pricing. And now when we actually have a chance to pass one, for some reason, people aren't getting behind it. And there's a whole lot of issues that caused the problems up there. But a lot of it came down to this idea of really respecting other organizations, having people be heard, listening to the options and why people feel the way that they do. If you're interested in learning more about it, I highly recommend, there's a Vox, V-O-X is a website, but they did a great article where they broke down the timeline and what the issues are. And it's fascinating. It's really sort of spurred CCL to kind of look at how we work with other green groups and to start fixing some of those relationships that where we may have come off as trying to force a policy. So yeah, it's an interesting case study. We'll see what happens. I recommend if you're interested, especially in working with other groups on the left and climate justice groups, it's worth a read and it's worth looking into.
Okay, sorry, I was talking. So if you're looking for that article, if you go to our forum community, I'm just going to show you real quick. You can see it right here. It's this, the left versus a carbon tax. Someone posted the article there. So you can go check it out there, or you can just search the left versus the carbon tax for the Vox. Hey, George asks, or makes a statement, you know, one more thing we've done. We invited local members of other groups to our monthly meetings with the idea that they'll share, you know, what their organization is working on.
That's awesome.
Positive for uniting us. That is a fantastic idea.
Genius. That's really great. I think that's awesome. Yeah, and I was actually talking to some groups today about how they're thinking about working in other organizations to their regional conference, which is also a really cool idea. Again, just to sort of find out what the other organizations in your area are working on and that if there's ways that you can work together. So that's another option, but that's a great idea, George. I'm gonna pass that on.
No, that's all the best ideas come from the for sure.
Absolutely. Those Laskins.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. We still got time for a couple of questions. So if you're on the line, you can star six or click your microphone.
I have one comment. Can you hear me?
Sure. Yeah. Who is this?
This is Jan from Grand Rapids. For those who are interested, you're talking about the Washington tax. The PBS NewsHour did a feature tonight.
Wow.
On it. So all you have to do is go online and look at the PBS NewsHour. And it was a fairly good reporting in comparison of what the issues were about.
That's great. It's getting a lot of attention, which can only help us, I think. So that's awesome.